Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. And to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Well, you've done some more work into the recent discoveries at Antarctica, which has prompted you to release some updated versions of your novel, Raising Atlantis. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the discovery that really happened was by your audience years ago when you first had me on your show to discuss Raising Atlantis, which is a novel about a secret U.S. military expedition, and it unearths ancient ruins deep beneath the ice of Antarctica. Pure fiction, right?
Yeah.
So your listeners were among the first to realize that the book that Simon & Schuster published was not the same version as my original ebook on Amazon. And that's because certain chapters in the original version were flagged by intelligence officials over some national security concerns and thus redacted. And that's still the case, even with the most recent 15th anniversary edition that Simon & Schuster published just in January before the pandemic. So most of those redactions made no sense to me at the time, and there are still a couple of chapters under lock and key for the most mundane reasons. I mean, these things were involving things like troop movements and how long it takes the U.S. to field troops on the ice in a crisis. In fact, one of the pages was marked up by somebody in the intelligence community with the initial CR, which at the end of the day we thought we figured out meant Condoleezza Rice. Don't know. This was way back just before it was published. But there were also some fantastic elements I completely made up, like Dean Koontz, or I thought I did, that I was asked to strip out. And ironically, some of those are the ones in the news now. And probably the biggest discovery coming out now in sensational headlines came out in January, about the same time as the anniversary edition, coincidentally. And the reports revolve around the discovery of, stay with me here, a parallel universe going backwards in time.
Whoa.
And if that's not enough, just last month was the discovery of a gigantic structure in space that can only be seen from Antarctica. Crazy stuff. But it was stuff hinted at in the original edition of Raising Atlantis. So as a result of these public acknowledgments, I was allowed to release some of these so-called lost chapters as a companion anthology. So they're out now on Amazon.
How many countries, Thomas, are down there right now?
More than we think. I mean, look, when the Antarctica Treaty was first created or put into force in 1961, I think there were 12, 13 countries that were signatories. Seven have claims. The U.S., then Soviet Union, China don't have official claims, but the whole gist of the Antarctica Treaty system, it's actually a system of treaties, all turns on this one idea that you can make a claim, but nobody has to acknowledge that it's legal.
Russia's down there in a big way, I hear. Do you hear that too?
They always have been. They were among the they were the first there to actually use radio echo surveys in the 50s to try to take a look at the subglacial topography. They're still there now. I would say that they have probably been the country that has had the longest continuous presence on the ice.
Since we'll get into what the Nazis were doing and whether you still think some of them may be there. There's always been talk that Hitler escaped through that region. He was obsessed with that area anyways.
Yep.
And we'll get into that. But geographically, can you kind of plot out what it looks like for us?
You mean under the ice?
Under the ice.
Sure. Under the ice, if you strip the ice of Antarctica, you would find an ancient landmass in East Antarctica about the size of Australia. And then the western half of Antarctica, if you took the ice off, it'd be a series of islands. And this is what makes Antarctica very different than the Arctic. You take the ice out of the Arctic, which is melting fast, you have water. But you take the ice off of Antarctica, you have an ancient landmass that goes back thousands, millions of years.
Jeez. Okay, now there was an old map, I mean, from the 1500s called Piri Reis.
Yes, it belonged to a Turkish admiral in the Ottoman Empire. And the key thing about that map is that it was based on earlier source maps going back to the ancient Romans and even before that. And the map actually shows the subglacial topography of Antarctica, which technologically speaking was impossible because it was covered with ice. So clearly, at some point, those earlier source maps, probably during even earlier maps, of some sort of culture that navigated the globe and could map Antarctica before the ice covered it. So it's always been a mystery. It exists. So there you have it. There is a map that shows what Antarctica looks like under the ice before ice covered it. Now, just to put it in perspective, the U.S. State Department officially states that the first human to ever set foot in Antarctica did so in the 1800s. Obviously, the Piri Reis map casts doubt on that claim.
Thomas, since you've been investigating this, what was it that caught your eye?
I think the whole issue of anomalies that they have been detecting in Antarctica for years. It's always been a mystery. And this latest one, for example, the whole parallel universe thing. I mean, the basic fact is that what they discovered, and it was published by the research paper was published by Cornell University, is that the Antarctica impulsive transient antenna, wrap your head around that, they call it ANITA, they detected certain neutrino particles. And that's part of the mystery, which is neutrinos are these subatomic particles. They travel at light speeds. They're created by violent astrophysical events like exploding stars and gamma ray bursts. So they come from outer space and they can pass through solid objects, just like you and I could walk through air. But they have virtually no mass or electric charge, so they're hard to detect. That's why they're called ghost particles. But it's not their detection in Antarctica that's at the center of all this recent excitement. It's their behavior. Like I said, neutrinos come from space, but the neutrinos they're detecting in Antarctica are coming out of the Antarctic ice from the interior of the Earth. So on a fundamental factual level, this is an incredibly unlikely phenomenon. You know, that's the reality. So what does it mean? Where do these neutrinos come from? What's their origins? That's the mystery. So it could mean, it could be evidence of an alternate reality where everything's upside down and going backwards in time. That was the headline of New Science in its April headline. The UK's Express reported a parallel universe breakthrough. Scientists find the origins of anomalies in Antarctica. Not quite, wouldn't go so far as they do. I think USA Today's coverage got it right and simply acknowledging that this discovery on the surface of Antarctica defies the laws of physics as we understand them.
And why did they call Antarctica the graveyard of lost continents?
Well, again, because there are lost continents under the ice, like I said, the ancient landmass of East Antarctica, which was the first place, by the way, that the Russians established Lake Vostok, their base at Lake Vostok, and it's part of Raising Atlantis. It is the one that's the deepest in the interior of Antarctica and the least explored.
Tremendous work out there. Have you been out that way?
I've been to some cold places, not quite as cold as the interior of Antarctica. But when the book came out, the fascinating thing was how many messages I got from Navy personnel and scientists working on the ice who confirmed a lot of my conjectures and gave me more information. And mostly in terms of how many operations are going down, are going on down there that just we don't know about, but there's plenty of activity.
Why is it so secretive? I mean, what are they hiding?
Well, you know, you kind of wonder. It was so bad. I mean, again, some things have changed now. We have Google Earth, for example, so we have a lot of armchair archaeologists and other interested people claiming to have found pyramids in the ice, like in Raising Atlantis or other things. But as recently as the late 1990s, this always struck me when I was researching Raising Atlantis, it was a big deal that Bill Clinton, he was speaking in New Zealand, which, of course, is one of the closest land areas to Antarctica, and they released, or rather declassified certain satellite footage from the 1970s. They wouldn't even declassify stuff going up through the 90s. And it struck me, this included satellite overheads. And I was thinking, why would the U.S. dedicate a satellite or two to Antarctica? What are they covering down there? Who are they,
That's right.
Most likely, you could argue it was to spy on what the Russians were doing. But there's something else going on there. And they were also hiding what they were doing, what we've been doing down there.
What about, was it John Kerry, former politician, of course, went down that way? And there seems to be a lot of people going down to see something.
Well, I think in terms of today's issues with the environment, Antarctica is considered ground zero, and a lot of folks go down there to see what's going on. It is a place for research as well as all this other stuff. I know Director Jim Cameron's gone down there. Politicians have gone down there. It's still a place like climbing Everest that allows a little chest thumping that you've gone down there. But I really think that for civilians, it's mostly some of the nature stuff. And it's actually been a point of concern for scientists that too much tourism. And by tourism, I mean it's almost always around the coasts with ships. It's not, again, the deep interior of Antarctica, which, by the way, has never been charted on foot, only by air. I think that kind of tourism has brought some pollution that concerns scientists.
Thomas, tell us about this discussion about parallel universes down that way.
Well, again, it's all about these neutrinos and their behavior and the question of, okay, why are these neutrinos rising up from under the ice? What is down there? If their origins are supposedly from outer space and other galaxies, what the heck could be under the ice or in the interior of the Earth that is spawning these neutrinos rising upwards? And so that's where the conjecture is. Again, if you get to the fact is that this phenomenon exists. So let's leave it at that. The conjectures go wild. It could be, well, maybe there's some sort of exotic alloy buried down there, like an asteroid or a spaceship or some alien base or a secret Nazi base you know, and it's out of that base where we've gotten all these UFO sightings, and that's what the U.S.
Right.
Navy fighter, the F-18s, encountered a couple of years ago. So you get crazy stuff there, but there is a kernel of truth to the scientific discovery of that anomaly that does defy what we see so far as the law of physics.
Do you find Antarctica different from the Arctic North Pole?
Oh, yeah, it's night and day. Again, the Arctic is that's ice, and under it is water. So the big deal there right now, of course, is in the terms of the future of the Arctic, is the Russians are they're mining. It also, with seaways there, it gives them a port. It's always been a concern for the U.S. in terms of attacks coming from the other side of the world, because the bombers have a shorter path over the Arctic to the U.S. So in that sense, it's very strategic. But again, it has no landmass. You have to go to that Norwegian island where they have the seed bank to find a landmass in the Arctic Circle. But Antarctica, again, is the ancient landmass. There's obviously something under the ice because it was once a tropical climate.
I got to tell you, Tom, it's a fascinating area, isn't it?
Well, it's the closest thing to another planet we have on this. So I'd say you've got Antarctica and maybe parts of the world's the deepest parts of the world's oceans are probably the least explored on the planet. In fact, you can make a great argument. We know more about Mars because of the global surveying that we've done through the probes we sent there than we do of Antarctica and the deep.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.